It is time for us to check sports. Time to bring in Mike Kazi. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
So another bit of proof that baseball and the quality of baseball and the way it's played is just diluted. It's rare enough for a team to get a triple play. The Yankees got their second triple play in about a month. And once again, I mean, they executed the triple play, but it was absolutely horrendous, horrendous base running by Toronto.
Yeah, and it happens every day. The other day, same game, Yankees-Toronto, Guerrero gets picked off third base. You lose him by one run. You have bases loaded and one out, and you get picked off third base. It's just a comedy of errors all the time. And usually, unless you got bases loaded in first and second, and you hit a ground ball right to the third baseman near the bag and you turn a triple play, the only other way you turn a triple play is somebody screwing up somewhere. And that's what happened again last night. Baseball's a joke. It's a real joke.
No, I'm not taking away anything from the team turning the triple play, but when you're given that opportunity over and over and over again, it's why more and more
lack of fundamentals on the other team.
And more ex-major leaguers are just saying that baseball is becoming just a try to strike them out or hit a home run league. And everything else has been left by the side.
And the same mini argument with my nephew who plays Division I baseball the other day again. He was sending me text messages of how DeGrom is the best pitcher to ever toe a rubber. I said, awesome. Let me know when he has 250 wins and pitches 250 complete games like Bob Gibson did. Now, people are going to say, what are you talking about and this and that. Okay, DeGrom is the best pitcher in baseball today. No question. He is not even close to being one of the best pitchers of all time. He doesn't have the numbers. ERA for 5 and 6 inning starts does not deem you the best pitcher in baseball. Complete games, longevity, and wins is, in my opinion, what makes you a pitcher. He doesn't have that. Is he a victim of the game? Yes, unfortunate. But you can't compare him to these other pitchers because he doesn't do what they did. And as a pitcher, complete games, wins, are your measuring stick. That's your measuring stick. How many games do you win, and how many complete games do you pitch? That's your measuring stick. And like we've discussed on here, if back when we played baseball, you went 7 innings, and even if you only gave up 2 runs, that was a bad start. That wasn't a quality start. A quality start was you finishing a game, not going 7 innings. If you pitched 7 innings, no matter how good you pitched, you felt like you let your team down, that you didn't do your job. Because you were expected to finish a baseball game, not go 5, 6, or 7 innings. And like I said, DeGrom is a victim of today's game. And today's game isn't baseball. I don't know what it is.
And that's how the term save came into effect in Major League Baseball. These relief pitchers came in at the very last moment when they had to save a game, not pre-planned into parting of their part of the actual pitching rotation.
I mean, get Ron Guidry on here. Yeah. Ask Ron Guidry how he felt in the late 70s when he only went 6 innings and Goose Gossage had to go 3. Ask Ron Guidry if he was satisfied with that outing.
Hey, how about all the pitchers like Mel Stottlemyre who pitched on poor teams?
Mel Stottlemyre, he doesn't have big numbers as far as wins and losses and everything. Look at his ERA. Look at his complete games.
It's amazing.
Look at those things. If Mel Stottlemyre pitched today, they'd be talking about him like they talk about DeGrom.
Yeah, it's a different game. Well, anyway, so the Yankees beat the Blue Jays 8-4.
They're still 6 out.
Yeah, they're still 6 out because Tampa Bay lost again last night. So the Yankees somehow, luckily, have picked up 2 games. The Mets got shut out by the Cubs. And I don't think Boston played yesterday, but I try to just recap all those teams. So yeah. So
hey, did you get those text messages I sent you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember when I said everybody cheats?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's coming out.
Yeah.
Nope. Here's something that I sent to Marshall, folks. It says in 2015 that the Kansas City Royals had a full analytics and video department in their dugout. What did they do in 2015? They won the World Series. the Yankees had cameras in left, center, and right field all pointing at the pitcher's glove instead of the catcher to pick up the pitcher's grip. Here's Aaron Judge's numbers for 2017. At home, he hit .312. On the road, he hit .256. I mean, and it goes on and on. This is a great article. Adrian Beltre playing for the Texas Rangers. They did stuff with a guy in center field with binoculars reading pitcher's grips and waving an undershirt when you're getting an off-speed pitch. At home, he hit .362. On the road, .271. So if people think that the Houston Astros are the only cheaters in baseball, like I told you 4 years ago, you're 100% wrong. They all cheat.
And it's the same way in the NFL and the NBA. They go for whatever edge they can get.
Sure they do. Yeah. And you know what? If you're dumb enough to give it away, fine. If a pitcher's dumb enough to hold the ball in his hand on the mound pre-pitch with the way that the pitch is being thrown, you should get your pitches stolen. When I pitched, I had my ball in my hand constantly spinning, and I didn't get the grip until I started my motion. And you can't relay a sign that quick to anybody, because if he's looking for a sign while you're in your windup, there's no way in God's green earth he can hit a baseball.
All right, in basketball, the Bucks and Nets are going to have a Game 7, and in hockey, the Lightning beat the Islanders in game number 3 by a score of 2-1.
The Nets are in trouble because of injuries, plain and simple. And if they don't have their team back, they're going to need another Herculean effort from Durant to win game 7, like they did in game 5. If he doesn't come up with a 50-point effort, they have no shot. The Islanders, they came out flat last night. In the first period, they were lucky to only give up one goal. To their credit, they only gave up that one goal, and they tied it up. And I don't know if you've seen the winning goal by Tampa. It's pretty hard to stop a puck when you got five guys in front of your net. The opposing player that has the puck is being checked, falling down. And as he's falling, he hooks the stick and shoots the puck off the elbow on the side of his stick, pinballs between two players, and goes through the goalie's legs that he can't even see the puck. That was the winning goal. Not calling sour grapes. That's the way hockey is. The Islanders lost the game in the first period when they came out flat, when the crowd was going nuts. They came out flat, gave up a soft goal. Tampa Bay put on ensuing pressure after that first goal, and the Islanders couldn't answer it. The Tampa Bay goalie made some big saves later in the game, but for all intents and purposes, the Islanders lost the game in the first period. And I'm real surprised that they came out flat, because that's not the way a Barry Trotz team plays.
All right, any racing coming up this weekend that you can continue your streak on? No racing, huh?
No. I looked at all the tracks I play. There's no stakes races. There's one stakes race at Churchill Downs where my two horses, Sconson and Bell is the one, are the two horses to bet in the race. They're both even money. How are you going to bet that race? There's no races this weekend. It's a first.
Well, what the heck? You need some time off. You've been hitting a home run every weekend with these races since the beginning of the Triple Crown.
Yeah, we try. And we had the winner. We beat the big favorite last Saturday that night in Churchill. But I'm shocked. There's no races this weekend. It's pretty terrible.
All right, well, why don't you have a
good... Not even at Monmouth Park. You can get some skanks race or something. There's nothing.
Monmouth Park. Hey, is that same guy still at the gate?
You know, no, there's no gate. It's free.
Really?
You just walk in. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, unless you go on Haskell Day, then you're paying $20 to get in and $20 to park. To watch a bunch of horses go around the track with no whips in the jockey's hand. And I went to get my car washed. We could talk about racing a little bit. I went to get my car washed last Sunday at a place near Monmouth Park at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And there were PETA people all over the front of the track protesting. These people are just out of their minds. They're yelling at cars going by. These people are sick. And horses are bred to run. If they don't run, good things don't happen to them. I wonder how many of these PETA people have been back on the backside and see how these horses are actually taken care of. I think we spoke about this once before, how they're treated like gold, whether you're a Kentucky Derby winner or a $10,000 claimer. The treatment that these horses get are the same. They're washed, they're bathed, they're cleaned, they're fed, their stalls are clean. Some of the horses' stalls are cleaner than these PETA people's homes. So I just don't understand what these people want. Because if there's no racing, what do you think is going to happen to all these horses?
Yeah.
Where are they going to go? McDonald's?
Yeah. And I know what people all get concerned about, the horses that break down. Yes, that's upsetting. It's not only upsetting to animal lovers, it's upsetting to the owners. It's upsetting to the trainers.
I don't like seeing horses break down. Yeah.
It's just one of those things.
It's part of the sport, and it's the reason why breakdowns happen. Sometimes they happen for no reason at all. You don't know. But a lot of them happen because a lot of trainers are treacherous, and they mask injuries, and they tap ankles, which makes a horse's leg numb, and they're running on an injured leg, and they can't feel the pain, and what's going to happen? Bad things.
Yeah.
So racing needs to clean things up, and it starts from a veterinarian point, because the reason why these trainers are allowed to get away with dope in horses is because the veterinarians are in their pocket. That's where it has to start. People have no clue of where the racing is bad and how it's bad. And racing is not bad in the treatment of the horses by 98% of the trainers.
Huh.
It's the 2% that the trainers have the vets in their pockets, and those trainers are the names that you see on NBC every weekend. It's not the little Joe Smith guy. It's the high-profile guys that are getting away with it, and those are the ones that need to get in trouble.
All right. With that being said, have a good weekend, Mike.
Oh, I do, all the time.
And I'll speak to you on Monday.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. That's right, Sunday, right?
Yes, sir. Happy. You're a father, so happy Father's Day to you.
All right, Mike, take care.
Take care, guys.
Mike Cossey with a check on sports this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.